From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, this is Alan Kearns with you from Greenville, South Carolina. We continue today on Let the Bible Speak to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ's cleansing of the temple, how He cleansed the courts of the temple in Jerusalem at the beginning of His ministry. I have pointed out that He wants His house to be clean. Now today I want to come to something that is really very up to date, and that is that the Lord has a particular attitude toward the commercialization and secularization of His house. And I'll have something to say about that in today's broadcast, so we invite you to stay with us. First, however, we start with our daily commentary, our hot topic for today. The word evangelical is now a bad word. About a generation ago, all evangelicals were what we later came to call fundamentalists. That is, they were characterized by clear beliefs about the gospel of Christ and the way of salvation, and they made no doubt about their adherence to the infallible authority of the Bible. As a result, they walked in separation from this present evil world. Then apostasy, in the form of liberal theology, began to take over the major Protestant denominations. That caused men of God to separate from those denominations. They put the honor of Christ and His gospel before their loyalty to a denomination, sometimes at great personal sacrifice. These were the fundamentalists. But some evangelicals didn't like the negative attitude or connotation of fundamentalism. They wanted integration, not separation, dialogue with liberalism, not denunciation of it. They wanted to be recognized as scholars. In fact, they really made a pact with the liberals. You accept us as scholars, and we'll accept you as Christians. These were the new evangelicals, as their leaders termed them. In time, they dropped the new and arrogated to themselves simply the name evangelicals. For a while, the ploy appeared to work. Evangelicalism was a great success. Christianity Today even ran a story on whether evangelicalism could survive its own success. Now, however, the same magazine is asking if the E word, the word evangelical that is, can even survive. Apparently, evangelical is now viewed as a negative term. For years, evangelicals heaped opprobrium on fundamentalists, labeling them as negative. Now they're suffering the same fate, so that some evangelicals are looking for other ways to describe themselves, one suggesting the ultimate non-definition of any discernible position, creedal Christian. I believe a creed doesn't say much, or indeed anything, about the creed. I just believe a creed. Until recently, according to USA Today, the term evangelical described, and I quote, Christians with conservative views on politics, economics, and biblical morality, end the quote. Therein lies the problem. Evangelicals, in their great drive toward togetherness, in their disregard for the Bible doctrine of separation from false doctrine and evil practice, accepted the support of people who were conservative in politics, economics, and moral issues, such as abortion on demand. The ultimate example of this compromise is the way in which evangelicals accepted Roman Catholics as fellow Christians and even as fellow evangelicals, because they stood together against abortion. The result is that evangelical came to be defined in the public mind by a person stamped on political, economic, and social issues, with little or no attention being paid to the content of the evangel, the gospel that defines true evangelicalism. I don't know what label evangelical compromisers will come up with next. By now they should have learned that once you compromise God's truth for man's approval, you're on a slippery slope. They should have learned that they must largely disregard the world's opinion and seek only to be faithful to God's infallible word. His word preached in his power is his ordained means of reaching the world. This they should recognize and turn from their compromising ways. They should. But somehow, I doubt that many of them will. The company of those willing to go forth unto Christ outside the camp is small, as it always has been. But there's no better place to be, no better people to be with, and no better cause to stand for. Let us therefore go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Listening to Let the Bible Speak. I've been telling you about the latest issue of our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, how it deals with the Psalms of David. What a blessing those articles will be to you. We also feature a number of other very interesting articles. If you're interested in one of the outreach Free Presbyterian churches in one of the most beautiful parts of Western Canada, we have an article that focuses on the Okanagan Valley in British Columbia, where we have a Free Presbyterian church. Then Dr. Mike Barrett deals with the danger of religious hypocrisy. And then we have a stirring testimony of the triumph of grace in the life of one of the leading politicians in Northern Ireland. All these things are yours free of charge in the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. At the back page, you'll also be able to read of our worldwide programming schedule, and that will enable you to pray for us. So, write to us for your copy of the LTBS Quarterly at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, or you may email us at freepres.org, or you may call us toll-free 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you.
All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man to die, that He might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more, at God the Father's own right hand, where angel hosts adore. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yesterday in our study of Christ cleansing the courts of the temple, we noted that He wants His house to be clean. Today we go a little further and see how He detests the commercialization and secularization of His house, and how He sets His own word as the standard by which we should determine what is allowable in His house and what is not. With that in mind, let's turn back to John's Gospel, chapter 2. The Lord particularly detests commercialization and the secularization of His house. This now gets to something that is so very prevalent today that people really think little or nothing of it. Go back to this scene when the Lord Jesus visited the temple. It was the Jewish Passover. All the Mosaic ritual was proceeding as usual. The Jews were very, very careful to keep every dot and every little detail of the Mosaic law regarding how they would sacrifice the Passover. And so the things were going on as usual, but even while all the Mosaic ritual was being carried out, this trade, commercialization and secularization of the house of God, they had actually effectively taken hold of the temple. One of the most famous works on the life and times of the Lord Jesus was written by Alfred Edersheim, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. And this profound Jewish scholar shows us that the business that was being carried on in the temple when Christ arrived was no small affair. In today's currency, it was a business that was netting literally millions of dollars. It was big business. The house of God was commercialized. The worship of God was secularized. And that is a potent and persistent threat to the Church of Jesus Christ. Albert Barnes commented on this. We see here how strong is the love of gain, the ruling passion of mankind. Not even the sacredness of the temple, the presence of God, and the awful ceremonials of religion deterred these people from their unholy traffic. Wicked men will often turn religion, if possible, into gain, and they will make their religion the basis of profiting from people. The Jews did this in old times. Amos 5 tells you how they secularized their religion and made it a commercial venture. Barnes calls this a groveling passion. I think that's a good description of it. This passion for gain. And it's so deep in its depravity that it fears not God, it regards not His Sabbath, it despises His sanctuary, it tramples underfoot His law, all to make money out of religion. Do we not see it all around us? Why did the Protestant Reformation actually break in Germany in the days of Martin Luther? What was it?
Well, the Pope had a great plan. They were building St. Peter's Basilica. Now, millions of people have been there and they have been awed at the beauty of the place. They forget how the money was raised. In order to raise the money, the Pope sent John Tetzel, a monk, with indulgences. If you pay, your sins will be forgiven. If you pay, the sins of your loved ones, whom I say are in purgatory, though it doesn't exist according to the Bible, they go free. As soon as the money hits the bottom of the box, they fly free. But not only that. If you're thinking of committing a sin, you can pay in advance, and I will give you a certificate. Forgive you in advance for the sin that you're going to commit. And to this day, the list is available. You pay so much for the murder of a mother-in-law. Actually, it wasn't very much for the murder of a mother-in-law, for some reason or other. Now, indulgences didn't die with the Reformation. You can still go and buy an indulgence today. It's not put in those same terms that John Tetzel put in it. But it comes down to this. You pay for grace. You pay for grace. You take your charismatic and television evangelists. And I'm always amazed at the gall of these people. The lying hypocrisy. My soul revolts at the lying hypocrisy. Because it always comes down to this. God will bless you, and God has grace for you, and God has prosperity for you, and God has this for you, and God has that for you. But it's always tied into the flow of your money into my coffers. And I want to tell you that is a vile, vicious, wicked, diabolical commercialization of the house of God. I think preachers can't be too careful here. As a young preacher, there wasn't a poorer person in Ireland than I was. As a young married couple, Joan and I had many a time not a single penny. And I mean literally not a single penny left to our name. People would come along and ask their minister to do extra things. Marriages. Burials. In Ireland and Britain, writing out copies of marriage lines and things like that. It all falls to the minister. And of course, in every church in the country, practically, in fact, for the writing of marriage lines, the government tells you this is the set of fees. And there are fees for this and fees for that. No matter how little I had, I never believed in taking fees for doing the work of God. I don't believe in that. I will not tie the work of God to my praying and your paying. That is sin. That is commercializing God's work. But you don't need to blame others. You don't need to blame churches even. You look at the most of God's professing people. And this spirit pervades us. There are Christians who are so worldly, so busy laboring for mammon, so busy trying to get what they think they must have, even though they can live just as happily without it, that they can't be too serious at all about the work of God. There are Christians who can't be at prayer meeting because they must have a second job or a third job. Now, don't misunderstand me. If there are times when extra measures have to be taken to meet extra expenses, fine. I'm not here to be the guide of or the governor of other people's conscience. But I am here to say that when God's people sell out to a worldly spirit and they're willing to sacrifice everything for worldly gain, they are doing the very thing that the Lord Jesus was so against when he cleansed the temple. He wants his temple to be clean, and he doesn't want his people to be so secularized and commercialized that they can fail to live by the faith of the gospel. Well, you notice this also, that what is allowable in the house of God, whether the church or the Christian's life, is what is determined by the Bible and by the clear revelation of God in this Bible. You look at these Jewish traders, what were they doing? They were supplying animals for sacrifice. Now, as I pointed out the last time, they could argue they were providing a necessary service. After all, if you had come 100 miles to the temple, you couldn't lead your lamb all the way. You had to be able to buy a lamb. So, they could say, we're providing a necessary service. And in a sense, they were. But Christ's rebuke is simply this, that they had brought things into the house of God for which they had no divine warrant. Only the Lord can say what comes into my house and what does not come into my house. And these people, without a warrant from God, were bringing in what God had not allowed in. And even if their intentions originally had been good, as Bishop Ryle said, good intentions cannot sanctify unscriptural actions. No matter what a person's intentions may be, his actions are judged by this book. No matter what a church's intentions may be, what it brings into the house of God, what it allows in the house of God, must be established by the book of God. There's no seeker-sensitive religion here. The great thing in church growth nowadays is seeker-sensitive religion. In other words, you find out what the unchurched want and you provide it. Actually, what's being discovered more and more is that the unchurched are not going to church because of seeker-sensitive religion. What is happening is that the people who are going to other churches move to those churches because they like the rock concerts, the plays and all that instead of the sermons. But overall, there are no more unsaved people in America today going to church than there were before seeker-sensitive religion came along. That's just the fact of the matter, by one study after another. But is it right? There are ways I could get people to come here. There are things we could do that would fill every pew. Does that make those things acceptable to God? What should be in the church? What the Bible says should be in the church. That's the standard. And what's true of the church is true of your life. What is right for your life? What's wrong for your life? Let's not be caught up in the relative morals of our day. Let's not be simply thinking we're holy if we're one step behind the world. Do you realize that the things that are now acceptable to most professing Christians 10 years ago were reprehensible even to ungodly worldlings? Do you realize, getting back to what people bring into their home by television, do you realize that many professing Christians can imbibe on a daily basis a moral diet of filth and wickedness that would have made the ungodly and the drunkards blush a generation ago? Now, holiness cannot be simply being a year or two behind the ungodly. Holiness is established by that book. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. That's the standard for the church and for the individual believer.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.